Welcome to today's adventure. I call it an adventure because we have a number of hurdles facing us, but we're going to do our best to work through them together. First, we're working from a document that is very much legalese and committee speak and not real world. It is a document about visual aspects. So we're trying to describe using words orally something that was written in a committee about something that you have to look at to understand what we're talking about. So you can see that there are some problems before us. The way we're going to approach it in these tapes, the first will be introductory, and I think it'll last a little over 20 minutes. Go through discussion topics associated with the course, things that are necessary to get started, a little bit of overview of where we hope to be when we end up. Following that, we will step through the individual sections of National CAD Standards version 3.1 dated April 2007. We'll go through it not exactly line by line because it's a massive document, but the standard itself boils down to a 9-line checklist. You must certify that you've satisfied 9 different characteristics to say that you comply with the CAD standards. So we will go through those 9 characteristics in some detail. There is a worksheet associated with this course that is my best effort at extracting the meat from the standard. What are they talking about? What do you have to do? What does it mean? And this is a worksheet. The idea is that it's something a CAD supervisor can put on one side. He's got a stack of drawings on the other side that is the project ready for release. He reads through the checklist, and then he reads through the drawings, and as the things match up, he checks them off, and when they don't, he makes a circle on the checklist to identify what we're talking about, and a circle on the drawing with the intent of sending it back to somebody to fix, or probably more likely back to the project manager to decide if we're going to spend money on fixing it or not. But again, that's a problem of the real world. And again, this course is going to be very much about the real world. It's about the National CAD standards, but it's real world applications in electrical design. And once again, I have to emphasize it's electrical design. I don't know much about architecture. I know a little bit about mechanical, not much about plumbing, almost nothing about civil or structural. I know a little bit about electrical, and I know a lot about CAD of electrical, so that's what we're going to be talking about, the National CAD standards as applied to my experience in electrical drafting and electrical design. One more aside before we start on the actual content of the introductory material. My experience is a little more extensive than you might think. I like to think I'm a good electrical engineer and I've covered a lot of things in industrial and commercial electrical design. But one of my frequent assignments is as-built drawings, where it's my job to go in and put the contractor marks onto the original drawings. The exciting part of this is I am forced to discover how the original drawings were made so that I can enter additional information in a compatible form. So I have more than an ordinary amount of experience exploring how other people have made drawings. And that's going to come into our discussion as we go through this. And again, let me relate to a specific example so you're understanding what I'm talking about. There was a big waterworks expansion. Matter of fact, it has multiple phases, and we're just talking about one of the phases of the expansion. What they do is they strip out a set of filters. They had 2 wings of filters, leave the one wing operating, strip out the other wings, demo it, rebuild it to put new stuff in there and new pipes and new electrical and all this. And at the end of it, I ended up with all of the as-built revisions for all the different trades for the entire drawing set. I discovered within each discipline, there was a tremendous range of procedures followed in creating the lines on the sheet. Well, it's the procedures followed creating the lines on the sheet that this standard is about. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And let's get into it. Step through the introductory material that introduces the worksheet, introduces the standard, introduces what we're doing today. Title of our course is U.S. National CAD Standard NCS 3.1-07 for Electrical Design. The words are kind of important here. It's a U.S. National CAD Standard. Does it have anything to do with Europe and IEC? Well, in fact, it does, because they're trying very hard to harmonize, that's the word being used today, the European standards with the American standards. So we're going to get into serious trouble when we start talking about paper sizes, because they're almost identical, but not quite identical, which means that we get a huge, long list. And being a committee-formed standard, all of them are adopted. I think there are 20 paper sizes. That make your head hurt? Makes my head hurt. The course narrowly focuses on completion of the statement of compliance required by the April 2007 version 3.1 of the U.S. National CAD Standard. Details and discussion are restricted to electrical design, though the majority of the standard is directed toward architectural content. The full standard is copyrighted and can be purchased from the National Institute of Building Sciences, 1090 Vermont Avenue Northwest, Suite 700, Washington, D.C., 2005-4905. CAD standard provides a means to encourage uniform quality presentation of facility construction drawings. It's been adopted by federal and state governments for projects of some agencies. Also, there's a tremendous effort to try to get the larger firms, the General Motors of the world, Lowe's hardware people, to adopt it for their projects as well. The author is presently preparing engineering standards for a large municipal government and using NCS 3.1-07 as the basis. The uniform quality presentation simplifies revisions and follow-up projects without a learning curve of becoming familiar with the original design conventions followed. Backgrounds can be reused without extensive fix-up. Pen assignments are explicit so that new lines are consistent with the original. The second designer knows where to look for the set of information left by the first designer. The course is made up of two major parts, the worksheet for the statement of compliance and the course content, including introduction and references. The course includes a multiple choice quiz at the end, which is designed to enhance understanding of the course materials and, of course, to take the next step, getting your credits for renewing your PE or architectural license. You might wonder what the pause is. I'm having trouble with my computer advancing the page. I have a real loud clicker on this, so I'm trying to use the cursor controls instead of the mouse controls. I apologize. The course begins with the statement of compliance. This is a required form which must be presented on the cover sheet of the construction drawing set. Now, once again, we're talking about a situation where we are submitting this drawing set in compliance with the National CAD Standards. Well, why do you say it's in compliance with the National CAD Standards? Because you've got a statement of compliance on the cover that says it's in compliance, and the fellow who receives it checks that off, and you've completed that portion of the contract requirements. Each statement on the statement of compliance will be briefly explained, much in the way a glossary explains the technical words used in a report. Second, each statement will be converted into a checklist for ease of determining compliance at submission and during later audit. Within the checklist, examples will be given showing acceptable and unacceptable forms. Note that the checklist and interpretation are by the author and not part of the published standard. Also, all examples will be in the electrical discipline, totally ignoring structural, mechanical, architectural application. A list of references is included at the end of the course. The list of references we're referring to is internet sites that had real interesting stuff related to this. The references are not part of the course, certainly not part of the quiz, but very interesting should you choose to continue and get into a situation where your employer, or you are the employer, and you've adopted NCS or are trying to comply with NCS to meet client requirements. learning objectives. At the conclusion of this course, the student will know where to obtain the full standard, know the mission of the first author of the standard, the National Institute of Building Sciences, know the mission of the second author of the standard, the American Institute of Architects, know the mission of the third author of the standard, Construction Specifications Institute, know the mission of the fourth author of the standard, the Military Tri-Service CAD-GIS Technology Center. Understand the participation in the standards by the U.S. General Services Administration. Know where to find quick, clear answers to common questions regarding the standard. Know where to find a free 100-slide PowerPoint presentation which introduces the standard. Know the recommended form for CAD layer names. Know the permitted discipline identifiers, the first character in layer names. Know the permitted area identifiers for electrical drawings, the second field in layer names. Know why the course author recommends placing a project phase identifier string before the NCS second field. Know the main line weight categories for drawing content. Be able to link line weight categories to pin widths and layers. Know the recommended sheet naming form. Know the permitted discipline identifiers, first character and sheet names. Know the numbering convention for floor plans, details, schematics, and schedules. Know the standard suffixes for addendums, revisions, and reference information. Know the standard drawing paper sizes. Understand the modular sheet division for uniform placement of details. Know the required title block information. Know the required plot data beyond the left border. Know the required scale bar. Know how to properly use photographs. Know the required components for schedules. Be familiar with the sample power distribution panel schedule published in the standard. Know the standard north arrow. Know the standard billing column grid assignment and notation. Building column grid assignment and notation. Know the standard detail form. Know the standard detail bubble. Know the minimum text size. Know the numerical rounding standard and representation. Know the proper use of abbreviations. Know the proper use of symbols. Know the proper reference to specifications. Know proper reference to vendor-specific items. Know recommended form of custom line types. Understand the use and presentation of set notes, discipline notes, sheet notes, and keynotes. And know the list of design basis information required on the cover sheet. Now, if the terminology just used is foreign to you, you've got a steep hill to climb. People who've been doing drafting for the last 10 years, 20 years, 30 years are doing all these things the way they've been taught to do them, the way their employer requires them being done. And the standard is about doing it in a uniform way. If you are on the outside just discovering what drafters do, a lot of these words don't mean much to you. And I think they will be explained in the course, but it's a different course for people who don't know drafting than for people who are already proficient in the field. This course is specifically directed towards electrical designers concerned about complying with the latest CAD standards. Content will be relevant to other disciplines, project managers, CAD managers. In all cases, purchase of the full NCS 3.1-07 from the National Institute of Building Sciences is recommended. Why do I say that? Because I don't want them to sue me. Don't use this course in place of the standard. The standard is quite expensive, but the standard is the only way to get the full information and all their examples. And there are hundreds of pages of examples. So yes, I'm protecting myself in this statement, but I'm also emphasizing to you how to get full value from the content. The course is about NCS 3.1-07, expected to be adopted by organizations which purchase facility design services. Persons providing design services and making proposals for design contracts need to know what the requirements are when the request for proposal calls for compliance with national CAD standards. This course will make clear that NCS is just good design practice, not necessarily consistent with past conventions followed, but clearly good design practice. If and when clients do require NCS compliance, the worksheet makes definition, review, and audit straightforward tasks. Most designers learned their skills on the job, red penciled markups indicated sections to be changed, and indicated the change required. After a few projects, the red pencil marks became few, and the designer was deemed skilled in his trade. This worked very well within a discipline, such as electrical, within a single firm. However, it was common for electrical design and mechanical design to appear to have come from different firms. The most common response to this problem was a CAD manager with military bearing who had sign-off authority on the completed design before it was to be released to the client. The CAD manager typically prepared a set of CAD standards for his own use. It became obvious that design time was used more efficiently if the designers and draft persons knew what was required and the firm's CAD standards were published internally. Today, large customers of facility design services such as government bodies, quasi-independent agencies, utilities, industrial and commercial giants, each have their own CAD standards, which they require of work done for them. When we are done, the client will still determine what is good CAD presentation. But it's hoped that many client and provider CAD standards will converge into a national CAD standard. That's the goal of the U.S. National CAD Standard 3.1-2007. The only visible part of NCS 3.1-07 is the statement of compliance required to be on the cover sheet of the construction drawing set. It might be argued that each detail of each sheet of the set reflects compliance with the standard, but the standard only codifies what was good practice previously. If you were reading this at home or at work, you would have to download a couple PDF files. One is called the Worksheet for NCS 3.1-07, and the other is called U.S. National CAD Standards NCS 3.1-07 for Electrical Design. Sometimes they're called G210 content, things like that. But again, that's the worksheet we talked about previously. And the course content that I will be presenting to you presently. CAD standards are intended to improve the uniformity of presentation, improve the economy of preparing construction documents, and improve the economy of later revisions of the documents. The key concept to successful application is recognizing that it does not really require all of the elements shown. It only requires that, if present, they comply with the standards. Before me is the list of internet sites that you might contact to get more information. All I did was a Google search, and the ones that were interesting I wrote down for you. Some of them are exceedingly interesting. There are CAD groups out there, people who do nothing but talk about CAD, how to solve CAD problems, whether a new release is a good release or a bad release. And they have comments about the CAD standards. And some of the comments are favorable and some of the comments are unfavorable. And it's very interesting if you've got time to kill and this is of interest to you. One that was very interesting is the PowerPoint. There are two PowerPoints out there. One produced by the Architects, American Institute of Architects, and one produced by the National Institute of Building Standards. Both of them have a lot of direct reproductions from the CAD standard. I can't do that for copyright reasons. And they're very professional PowerPoint presentations. So again, if this is interesting, you wish to pursue it, those are very, very recommended items. Now, that concludes the front-end information of the course. As I said, there are 9 sections that must be complied with, and it just says that you comply with each of them. Let me list the 9 sections, and then we'll take a break and come back and get into the content of the course hot and heavy. You have to say that your layers are compliant with the National CAD standards. Well, what does that mean? If you're not a drafter, for goodness sake, what's a layer? Well, I'm not going to do introductory drafting. By the way, there is a PTH course on introductory drafting called Minimal AutoCAD, if this is interesting to you. That leaves you with a set of skills to draw lines, circles, and text and do a little of editing. Layers are the way all information is presented in a drawing. The present standard, and it's almost universally followed because it works so well, is to put different types of information on different layers. So, for instance, the building outline is on one layer. The columns are on a different layer. The balloons and grid that call out the columns are on a different layer. The machines are on a different layer. The compressed air connections to the machines are on a different layer. The 480-volt electrical connections are on a different layer. The 120-volt connections are on a different layer. And the purpose of this is so that you can see if there are interferences, you can see how the stuff lines up together, and you can turn off stuff that isn't interesting to you and just work on the stuff that is interesting to you. So we'll talk about the hot and heavy of doing layers according to the National CAD standards. Drawing set organization. Now, what does drawing set organization mean? Well, it means how the package is put together. Things like putting a cover sheet at the beginning. There are a lot of things that are not discussed in the standard that are also part of putting the drawing set together. But we will look at the things that are covered by the standard and have to be satisfied if we're going to be able to say it's compliant. Sheet organization. Now, this is an individual sheet. And certainly all individual sheets, but each sheet must comply if we're going to say the set complies. And we'll look at these things that are required to be able to say that. Schedules. Schedule is an architectural word. Before I got into facilities design, I thought a schedule meant what came first and what came second and what came third. And it certainly does mean that, but in an architectural sense, it means a lot more. It is not a table, because in the standard, they emphasize the difference between a schedule and a table. And I don't remember what it is, because they look the same to me. But when we get into that section of the course, I'll report it to you as it says in the standard. A table has a heading, it has columns, and it has rows. And a schedule looks like that, and it has a heading, and it has columns, and it has rows. And there's right ways to do it and wrong ways to do it. Now, we're only going to talk about the right way to do it. Plotting. Oh, by the way, I have to say this. My teeth will blow out if I don't say this right now. The example they give is really, really terrible. Now, that's unfair. They give a lot of standards, and I'm sure all of the rest of the examples are real good ones. But I used the one as a distribution panel schedule, panel board schedule, where what you list the circuit breakers and you list the size of the circuit breakers and what the load is. And again, we've been doing this for over 50 years. I've worked on drawings that were almost 100 years old, and we've been doing panel schedules the same way since the very beginning. But the American Institute of Architects didn't notice. They made up their own. And we will discuss that in way too much detail. But there won't be test questions on it. Plotting is a section of the standard, and you must say that you comply with it. And plotting is a real hard topic to discuss. I think the standard does an especially bad job of it. But there are a lot of problems in plotting that need to be addressed to put together a good drawing set, and need to be addressed if you're ever going to do revisions to it and issue those sheets, and we'll try to address those. Drafting. Now, what is the whole standard except drafting? Well, there's a list of things that they consider to be drafting, and we'll look at those as drafting. Things like line widths, how we do break lines and dimensions, text. Text is discussed in almost every section, but drafting is text. Text is drafting, right? Terms and abbreviations are a separate section of the National CAD Standards, and I think it's very, very appropriate because so many people have trouble with abbreviations. Let me tell you what the problem is. The problem is the people that work within a discipline are so familiar with the abbreviation that the abbreviation is the way it's in their mind. They never use the full words that go with the abbreviation, and it's inconceivable to write out. For instance, I say PDH a lot. Well, to people that don't write courses for professional development hours, PDH is probably not part of their local lexicon. I may have done that already, said things like PDH and PDH online, which don't mean anything to you if you don't do this every day. Well, the portion in the CAD standard says you got to write it out once so somebody has a chance. Matter of fact, the rule is there's supposed to be an abbreviation list where you pick up all the abbreviations used within the standard and put it on the list. So somebody that runs into an unknown knows exactly where to look to get it defined. Symbols is another section in National CAD Standards. What are symbols? Letters, subscripts, things like the detail bubble, the scale bar, and line weights. Notation. Now again, what is notation if it's not drafting? Well, notation is probably the thinking part before the drafter puts it on the sheet, but there are a set of rules regarding notation, and we will talk about those. Use of codes. Now, this is very difficult for an electrical because it means nothing at all to electrical. It's a totally architectural topic. If you have looked at the other disciplines' work in a set that goes out, and we're supposed to have an interdiscipline check so you do get a chance to see what they're telling the client, you'll notice that on the cover page they do things like the occupancy and the construction class and all kinds of architectural stuff that doesn't really mean much to me and doesn't really have much to do with the electrical design. But it's an important part of a drawing set for a construction package. And it's addressed by NCS, and I tried to quote them accurately, though I claim no particular knowledge in this area. And at the end of the compliance statement, there's a signature for the design professional. No, there's a place to type out the name of the design professional project manager, so it's readable, a place for the signature, and a place for the date. And I hope you'll join me for the next section when we get into the first section, the first item on the National CAD Standards.